You're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. I'm Austin Meek of WacoBusinessNews.com, bringing you the top stories coming from the heart of Texas this week. My guest today is Wendy Gregg, who runs DowntownWacoTX.com, a city-sponsored events calendar and blog covering all the happenings in downtown Waco. Wendy first moved here as a journalist working for the Waco Trib and has watched the blossoming of downtown over the past decade. She has tons of interesting thoughts on Waco's history and future, but before we get to that convo, it's the word on the street. Jonathan Garza of Lucre Real Estate mentioned it in our February 3rd episode of Downtown Depot, and this week the Trib confirmed it. The former Guaranty Bank building at Austin Avenue and 13th Street, you know, that huge brick building with the stately columns out front, will be turned into three floors of Class A office space. About 40 employees of Shane Turner-owned companies will occupy the top floor, and the first and second levels will be renovated and rented to groups wanting to work downtown. Now, I know that a new restaurant or a cool bar sounds a lot sexier than office, but having a strong professional presence in the downtown core is vital for the development of the area. Jim Stewart, the local real estate legend and business leader, passed away last week at the age of 76. Jim founded Jim Stewart Realtors in 1970 and later became a part of the Coldwell Banker Company in 1999. Jim handled some mammoth transactions over the years, leading deals that developed the Richland Mall, the Twin Rivers Subdivision, and Crossroads West. He was a friend and mentor to countless agents in Waco over the years, notably Bland Cromwell, the super agent we had on Downtown Depot back in October. Coldwell Banker Jim Stewart Realtors will continue as one of the premier real estate firms in Central Texas as it looks to build on the $351 million in sales it recorded in 2016. On Downtown Depot, I'm running a series of giving practical tips on how you can get involved in Waco real estate. A couple episodes ago, I talked about the property search tool on the McLennan County Appraisal District site and showed how you can get tons of free information about a building or a piece of land through that platform. Last time I mentioned the TIF, but I feel like it's a concept that deserves a deeper dive. So, first of all, what the heck is TIF? Well, TIF is an acronym for Tax Increment Financing. It's a fund from which the city can distribute money to developers as an incentive to facilitate development or redevelopment of an economically disadvantaged area. If you visit the city's website, you can view a map of the three TIF zones. It stretches along much of the Brazos and Bosque Rivers and is concentrated in the downtown area. Property owners in the TIF zones pay an additional tax that is put into the TIF fund and can be requested by developers. I'm in the process of doing that right now for our project on Elm. I'll be requesting money to put in streetlights, landscaping, and sidewalks that I feel are necessary to attract pedestrians and make them feel safe. The application process is long. Developers are required to submit 2 3- to 5-year pro formas, a financial projection for their project assuming it's granted TIF funding, and another projection for the project without TIF money. The TIF board, and after they review the city council, use this data to determine how much the project will generate in terms of taxes and job creation, and then they make a decision on how much to award the developer. Recently, Catalyst Urban Group was granted $20.6 million in TIF funding for the Brazos River development, and it's been a useful tool in incentivizing other out-of-town developers like Marshall Stuman, who got nearly $300,000 in TIF funding for his Mary Avenue Market project. Now, if you've got a deal that needs help, a boost of TIF funds could be the difference in your project penciling or falling apart before it even starts. As you wonder whether your idea might be eligible for a financial incentive from the TIF, note the four questions the board will ask when reviewing your application. First of all, what sources besides the TIF are used to fund this project? Secondly, will the project benefit the general public? Third, is the project consistent with the development goals of the city, things that have been put forth in Waco's comprehensive plan or the Brazos Corridor development plan? And fourth, does this project assist in the development or redevelopment in areas where it's not currently happening solely through private investment? Now, almost no one has kept a better pulse on the downtown beat over the past decade than Wendy Gregg, who lets you know what's happening in Waco through the website downtownwacotx.com. Wendy, I'm so pleased to have you here on Downtown Depot. Why don't we get started by telling me your origins in the city?
Sure. Well, I was a career journalist for 13 years, and the last six of it were at the Trib. I came for a job at the Waco Trib, a reporter job, in 2006, and did that for 6 years, and then...
And you'd been previously reporting before then?
Yeah. I actually, for my whole reporting career, was... I did education. That was my beat, and a lot of features on the side. And then finally was ready to leave the womb, or the bosom of mother journalism, and found a nice little niche doing downtown Waco stuff.
So is that what you were brought to the Trib specifically for, was to cover downtown Waco, or did you sort of just mold into that?
No, I actually – downtown is not my beat at the Trib at all. I came to the Trib to do features, specifically back when they had a feature section and a feature editor and were a little bit bigger paper. And after about 6 months of writing stories like, how to clean out your purse – I was like, oh, my God, my brain is dying.
The hard-hitting journalism you moved here to cover,
yeah.
I'm sure.
And I was like, I long for a school board meeting. And so the education position came open, and I said, please let me do that. But also I wanted to keep my hand in the features. So I said, also, please let me have a blog. And so I had to prove myself to them with by blogging American Idol. So I hate blogged that for 4 months. And then they said, okay, you can have your own blog. So.
And when you first moved here to Waco to take that job, were you living in downtown or in the downtown area? Because you really have become one of the most recognizable figures in downtown, and I think part of it's due to the longevity.
I wasn't downtown. When I first moved here, I was living over off of Lakeshore and then ended up in North Waco. I just – every move I made it a little bit closer to at first to the paper, and then as I got more and more interested in downtown, specifically moving into downtown became an interest of mine.
And so you moved away from the Waco Trib, and is that when you began sort of blogging for the city of Waco, covering the downtown Waco events?
So what's funny is I actually got hired away from the Trib by Susan Cowley, who had created this third-party website that provided information about downtown Waco. And she wanted someone to run it. I had been doing some social media consulting for her on the side while I was at the Trib. And then she said, I want you full-time on my team. And so I went to work for her. So it was actually really autonomous, totally third-party for a while, and it was called Chisholm Crossing. And only more recently has it been something that is contracted through the city.
So the city of Waco saw that you independently were discussing happenings in downtown, and they thought, hey, this is great content. Let's try to bring that in with our city brand.
Sort of. She created the site as an answer to how to market downtown for the public improvement district. But they said, we don't know about a website. We're not sure. And she said, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And then I think after they saw how strong it was, they then said, okay, you're doing this. We should have some skin in the game. We should put some money towards this because you're helping us. So anyway, and I should, I guess, specify the contract is with City Center Waco, which of course is an offshoot of the city, but I feel like I should specify that.
You have covered downtown Waco and Waco in general for a decade.
Yes.
And you've seen a lot of the changes. And you and I were talking about before we went on the air that cool things have been happening in downtown Waco for much longer than the silos have been open or before Fixer Upper was on the air. Can you talk a little bit about some of the early genesis of the redevelopment that you saw in downtown Waco a decade ago?
Yeah, I would love to. So I guess it was 2008. Don't hold me to that. But back when the Austin Avenue flats were built, there was this sort of momentum going downtown at that time. And over a summer, or could have been the spring, it was nice weather time, there were free movies on a huge inflatable screen in Heritage Square, and there was this feeling of excitement downtown at that point.
Just because people were seeing that there was new life coming downtown and they wanted to participate?
Yeah, absolutely. There were these cool new lofts, and at that time, and in the bottom
of
the lofts.
And these are the ones across from the Hippodrome? Is that right?
No.
The Austin Avenue lofts. Which ones are you talking
about? No, Austin Avenue flats are the ones that
are on the 300 block
of
Austin.
Coach's Smoke
right,
is
okay.
now.
Where Jimmy John's used to
where
be,
Jimmy
American
John's
Bank
used to be,
is
yes.
beneath them. Okay.
Yeah. And when they first went in, Olive Branch moved from the Praetorian to be at the Austin Avenue flats in the beneath part, the retail part, and also Square Bar was there, and so it was exciting, and you felt like, oh, I'm gonna go do Skittle Shots at Square Bar, and
which I'm sure you never did.
Oh, not at all. And there were these movies, and yeah, there was a feeling of excitement. About the same time, there was Green Room Grill, which is a really good restaurant that was on Austin Avenue, where Portofino's, I think, is now. So there was some momentum then.
I've never heard any of this.
Mm-hmm.
I moved here in January 2015 and sort of was there right before the Silos happened, but after Fixer Upper was already a TV show. But yeah, I mean, being able to place on a map in my mind where redevelopment was happening 10 or 15 years ago, like there were still people down in Heritage Square watching videos on a big screen. That's something that is a cool feature of a lot of the summer events that the city puts on, but that has had a longevity with it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that just like anything, you know, everything is a process. Nothing happens overnight, and nothing happens based on just one entity. This has been a lot of people taking risks on downtown for a number of years now. And but it's been fun to see. And sometimes it lags, and sometimes it picks up speed. Right now, I'd say the speed's pretty fast.
To what do you attribute the speed right now, other than the obvious Magnolia is a behemoth? But are there other things that you can point to that you, in conversations with other people who are visiting Waco, or just being on your Facebook feed and seeing people talk, other things that are really drawing people to Waco right now? Can you think of anything?
Well, rather than say to Waco, I'll speak to what's drawing people downtown. Right now, I hear people who have businesses or ventures or ideas, and they want those to have a place downtown, and it's because they see the momentum, that they see that's where people are going. Downtown has a cachet. It has a cool factor. And whether it's someone looking for a retail space to open a business, or whether it's someone saying, hey, I want to get this group together to meet. Do you know of good meeting rooms downtown that we could use? Because I'd really like for it to be downtown. People want to be, they want to associate with this cool area. So that's, and it's not like millionaires who have a ton of money to develop things. I mean, you're seeing people with just small initiatives and ideas, and they're showing up downtown going, hey, I have this thing I want to do. Can somebody point me in the right direction?
And that enthusiasm is so infectious. And it's so funny to me, you know, just by virtue of owning Pokios and having this radio show, people sort of, they'll come to me in conversations assuming that I have some knowledge or some sort of power how to do things. And really, it's just me knocking on doors and talking to people. But there was a guy who, his name is Pat Daniel. He's the theater professor over at Lake Air Montessori. And he most recently performed in the Waco Civic Theater production, Almost Maine, with my wife, Julia. Julia and Pat, at the same time, lived in L.A. doing comedy. And so Julia and Pat are trying to find a place downtown where they can host free improv classes. Anybody can come for an afternoon for a couple hours. And so I'm just in the process right now of talking with different property owners in downtown. And the majority of the ones that I've spoken with say, hey, man, that's a great idea. Like, this vacant building is sitting here and not being used. What a cool way to get some people inside my building and just bring some more life to downtown for a couple hours on a Saturday. And it seems like there are a lot of, not only on the supply side with people who have the buildings, but there's a lot of people on the demand side, like young comedians like Pat and Julia, who really want to just spread that fire among the Waco populace.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one thing that's important, and I feel like you're touching on the edge of something that is my favorite part about downtown Waco. People always say, what's your favorite thing? And they expect me to say like a restaurant or a shop. But my favorite thing is the pioneer spirit. And that is people thinking, to be trite, outside the box. And saying, I want to do this. Maybe we could do it. What, that building is empty, but look, that's a good space. We could do that there. And then finding out, who owns that building? Well, will you let me do that there? And then an open-minded building owner might say, well, yeah, why not? And but it's a spirit of people helping each other do cool things and be successful and provide more things for your city. And that's my favorite thing about downtown.
You're listening to Downtown Depot on 103.3 FM KWBU. I'm in the studio with Wendy Gragg, who, among other things, runs the Downtown Waco blog, and she's been a downtown resident for a long time, has seen the ups and downs of living in Waco, and right now we're all riding a wave, which is fun, but it was not always a big wave. There was what it sounds like, Wendy, is that since you've been here, there's always been some sort of momentum, but obviously it's kicked up a notch with the rise of Magnolia. Can you talk a little bit about how your personal views and feelings of downtown development have changed in the last decade?
Sure. I would say, as a reporter, when I was at the Trib, 10, 9, 8 years ago, it was just fun to watch things happening downtown. But my beat was education. So really, if anything that went on outside of Waco ISD didn't interest me just a whole lot, you know. But then when my job became downtown, I went through a honeymoon phase. Ooh, downtown, there's so much going on. And oh my gosh. And, you know, you have to talk everything up. And it's just, and it's this whole world and just so exciting. And I know the words you used just in conversation to me were the shine has come off a little bit. And I think I am very well aware that real efforts, you have to be in it for the long haul. Slow and steady wins the race. And so now all of these other people from outside of Waco and from the suburbs and from kids who grew up here and were going to leave but now want to stay, they are in that honeymoon phase. Oh, Waco is exciting! And so they can set their hair on fire and I can be here saying, yes, fantastic. We want your energy. We want you in downtown Waco. I love it. But I don't have to have that same like, sure, at all times. So I am a little bit more calm about it, but my enthusiasm and desire to see downtown Waco grow and succeed is still there.
So how do you manage and really take advantage of the enthusiasm of these young people with knowing that all of the power really resides with the property owners and the people with money?
Connections, connections, connections. Really, my favorite thing in the world is to talk to someone who says, oh, I kind of want to do this thing. I have this heart for this, and I kind of want to make this happen. And the journalist in me is processing that, and I am going to spit back out at you, okay, you need to talk to this person, and this might work, and let me get you in touch with this person. And you know what? There might be a space for what you're doing here. That's what I do with that energy and get them connected to the right person. I just think that's what makes the difference.
So that energy of the connection, that's still as strong with you today as it was 10 years ago. But maybe the ease of, hey, I'm going to connect you and then this is magically going to happen, that has dissipated.
My cheerleader has dissipated a little bit.
Right.
And that also, you know what, I'm also a few years older. So
it's just the normal wear and tear on a body.
It's the normal wear and tear on a body and soul. The connections part, honestly, was my favorite thing. Right before I left the paper, I found that what I enjoyed most was making connections for people. And I was like, that's why maybe it's time for me to leave journalism and pursue something else, because what I'm enjoying isn't just the school board meeting anymore. So,
well, the Downtown Waco website that you run and create the content for is an awesome way to connect people and to just get the populace knowing about all the cool events that are happening downtown. One thing that was recently mentioned that's going to be a huge boon for downtown livers is that the farmers market will be moving downtown, right across from the courthouse.
Yeah, and I am so glad that you brought that up because it's so important for us to get the word out about that because it's coming soon. The last day at the Riverside location is March 11th. And then on March 18th, the farmer's market is going to be in the courthouse parking lot there between 5th and 6th Streets on Washington Avenue. And
what a great location.
Yeah, it really
How did that come about that they were able to acquire that? Because I know that they'd talked about maybe going over to Elm, maybe taking some of the empty parking lots in downtown.
It has been such a long process trying to find the right place to move it. And the reason we have to move it is so Riverside development can take place.
Sure.
But it has been such a long and arduous process, and I have to shout out Christy Pereira, who's the farmer's market manager. She has worked endlessly and tirelessly and amazingly well with the entire city and county trying to find the right place.
I mean, what are the roadblocks that Christy was running into that having a farmer's market put in place?
So it's a puzzle. There are certain things that we have to have. And you go along and check those off, and it's just not as easy as it seems. We have to have power, and we have to have water, and we need a place we can put porta potties. And can we close off the street? No, you can't close off that street. Okay. Do we have good ingress and egress for our market vendors to set up? Do we have good parking for all our market visitors? And that's just that's the low-hanging fruit of requirements.
So some of the things that were inherent in the space by the river, you've really had to replicate wherever else you were going
to go. Yeah, exactly. Like, we're having to put in an electric pole for the market at the courthouse. And the county has been great to us in helping us, you know, meet these needs we have. So we appreciate that.
Well, and you recognize how important your reputation is. The downtown Waco Farmers Market has been a stalwart of downtown development, and it's the place where you go on Saturdays. And one reason why it's taken that reputation is because it's so consistent, because it's so good, because they do support local. And if the farmers market had not taken the steps to really establish that relationship, the McLennan County would have just laughed and said, hey, I mean, you're not going to be here. You can buzz off and go find somewhere else. But what a testament to the hard work that all the people who participate in the farmers market are a part of.
Yeah, it's in its 5 years of existence, that market has grown so much. And it gives me warm fuzzies to hear you talk about it like that, because I started out as just a volunteer with the market, and now I'm vice president of the board. And I just, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into the market, but when you see people there on a Saturday just enjoying the crap out of it and bringing their whole family out, and I've seen engagements, and I've seen babies grow up, and I've made friends just from people I've met at the market. It's just the fabric of Waco now.
It really is. And a quick personal plug, this Saturday at the farmers market, I'm going to be working at a table with two other volunteers from Texas Parks and Wildlife. We're all ambassadors with Texas Parks and Wildlife. I've been placed at Meridian State Park. These other two volunteers are at Fort Parker and at Mother Neff State Park. But between those three and Lake Whitney, there are four state parks that are within 50 minutes of downtown Waco. So we're going to be there spreading the love and talking about our state parks. So do come and say hi. Wendy, there is a ton of stuff on the downtown Waco calendar that's going to be coming up in the next few weeks. One thing, and I know that some people want to participate in every Magnolia event. Some people say, hey, it's time for me to steer clear. There's 30,000 people coming in town this weekend. But the Spring at the Silos event is something that even as a local, you should be interested in seeing what they have.
Right. Full disclosure, I live two blocks from the silos. And
so you can come park at Wendy's building, is what she's saying.
But I take a lot of flack from my friends because the Silobration and Spring at the Silos, I will go to, and my friends say, you live here. Why do you go to these crowded events? But I will tell you why. I'll tell you my argument for it. They bring in really great vendors. It's true that if you live in Waco, you could go to Magnolia any day of the week. But they bring in vendors that you wouldn't even find in Austin. Like, one specifically they're bringing in for Spring at the Silos is Letterfolk. And Letterfolk make these cool sort of retro letter boards. I own two of them. And they're bringing them in. And you know, I bought a beautiful wallet at the celebration. So if you like shopping and you like different fun things and kind of want to see some vendors come to town from outside, it's worth it to see to go for that little setup. I don't remember what they call that, but they for the celebration, they set it up on 6th Street.
Yeah, I think I remember they did that last year with the silos too. They just block off that, mm-hmm. that street in between 6th and Webster. Yeah, I and in addition to what the Magnolia people put out, every single first Friday of the month, there are fun things happening downtown. Like tonight, for instance, Club Sandwich is going to be in his truck over at Balcones.
Right.
You can go get some food and drink a little whiskey. The Pokios chocolate parked in front of the Praetorian. They're going to be having live music, and Summer Ellis will be selling her jewelry. The first Friday vibes seem to have really picked up even within the last 6 months, and I think a lot of that is as a result of the people at the Praetorian and the Anthem Studios really making a concerted effort to market and push. You can see their balloons in front of the participating vendors, and Friday night in downtown Waco has become the most hopping spot.
Right, and I think that First Friday is a good example of slow and steady wins the race, because it takes a while for something to catch on. So if you do it a few times and you're like, well, nobody came, then yeah, that's not going to work out. But they've kept with it, and now it has caught on. And I also I encourage anyone with any presence downtown, whether you're on the First Friday map that gets printed or not, do something special on
sure.
First Friday night and hashtag your social media First Friday or First Friday Waco and still be part of it. There's no reason not to do that.
Kate Duncan over at Wildland always does a great job for that. She'll have mimosas or she'll get pizzas
so
or s'mores. And it's a nondescript hangout.
Yeah.
And you just come and enjoy and shop and spend Friday night with us.
Yeah. Hers are so much fun.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy, for coming on Downtown Depot. It's awesome to have someone who is as plugged into downtown, not only today, but someone with a real history in downtown to come and give us some perspective and share knowledge. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
That's all we have time for this week, but be sure to tune into our next episode on March 17th when I sit down with Clint Harp of Harp Design Company. Clint's fame has skyrocketed with regular appearances on Fixer Upper, and his new show, Woodwork, premieres on the DIY Network on March 8th. Be sure to follow Waco Business News on Facebook and Twitter for all your updates between shows, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and the NPR One app. I'm your host, Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.